Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Jonathan, for leading our music today, and thank you for singing. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 139. While you're turning there, I want to just mention this, and Brother Byron reminded me of this, a couple of books by Brother Scott Pauley, who was here this last week. This is a book entitled Revival Praying, and it's yours for, I think he said $10, and this is The Need of Our Nation by Scott Pauley, and that's $3, and you can pick those things up in the vestibule there after the service today. All right, turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 139. This morning I'm speaking on the subject, the value of life, the value of life. And the wonderful psalmist David described the value of life in verses 14 through 18, well, actually beginning with verse 13 through verse 18. He said, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am faithfully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul hath known right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." And then, of course, in verse 17 and 18, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee." What a precious portion of God's word. As we come to celebrate life today, I want to think about the moments we have together this morning on the great value of every human being. After all, we are all created in the image of God. And that means that every human life on earth is valuable and worthy of being protected, even in the mother's womb. Do you love little children? You do? How many of you have grandchildren? Yeah, boy, aren't they grand? I have a whole gob of them, and I hope I can get some more. My grandson recently became engaged, and I told him, I said, "What are you waiting around for? You need to get married and have some kids, right? Amen? And that's why you get married for? To have kids? Sure. My folks had a lot of them. We had kids everywhere when I was, and we loved children. My mother loved kids and loved children. I want you to listen to some children, what they had to say about their little siblings. This guy, these are prayers that little ones pray. And this first prayer is by Debbie, a 7-year-old girl who prayed this. "Dear God, please send a new baby to mommy. The new baby you sent cries all the time." And little Jimmy asked this. He said, "Dear God, who did you make smarter, boys or girls? My sister and I want to know." And then Angela, who is age eight, said, "This is my prayer. Could you please give my brother some brains? So far, he doesn't have any." Here's another one by a little girl by name of Lois. She's age 9. She said, "Lord, please help me in school. I need help in spelling, history, geography, language, and writing. I don't need help in anything else." And this last one is from Diane, who is age 8. She said, "Dear God, I'm saying my prayer for me and my brother Billy, because Billy is 6 months old and he can't do anything but sleep in wet diapers." That's the thoughts of a youngster, right? though each child brings with it its difficulties, right? Everyone, we had four of them, and they each had their own different personalities. And they cost a lot, too. Did you know that? You know, when your kids are growing up, you don't have any money. And then they need constant guidance. And sometimes they become irritable. And each child also brings joy and happiness and meaning and purpose and a reminder that God cares enough to send into this world another generation. Isn't that precious? There are another generation coming into this world right now as we are going out. Amen. It's a shame that we have reached the point in America to often decide for no other reason than our own comfort to destroy life before he or she gets an opportunity to enjoy a single day of sunshine on this earth. Dr. Peter Singer is a philosopher of bioethics and has been called the most influential philosopher alive. And you listen to this guy. Bioethics is a field of study that is now saturated with all kinds of evolutionary worldviews and almost no ethics based upon the Bible. What makes it even worse is the fact that Peter Singer is the son of an Austrian Jew, yet he has openly abandoned any reference to a creator God. Singer has long since raised controversy over his views that are now becoming more and more applauded and appreciated here in the country. Here's some shocking news. Recent surveys show that only 35% of the American people believe that we should reverse Roe versus Wade. That means that 65% of American people believe that you can continue to kill babies before they're born. Very sad thing, actually. And so Singer has gone on record as saying that since we are no more than highly evolved animals, it is morally acceptable for a baby to be put to death within 30 days after the birth. It is completely, he says, left to the will of the parent or the guardian. Why not, he said? Because animals abandon their young or even kill them if they don't want them. Singer further believes that doctors and parents should be allowed to kill one-year-olds that show any evidence of mental or physical disabilities. If that isn't chilling enough, he has also stated that killing children specifically to harvest their organs for the benefit of those that are already alive. I would certainly agree with the writer of the article that I picked out when he said, he is the most dangerous man alive today. And it is, if that's not enough, I want you to just listen to the article. Now, this man, you say, well, who is he? He's the chief advisor of the World Health Organization right now. Listen to him now. Singer is not entirely immune from the effects of emotion in moral decision making. His mother, Cora, when this article was written, had advanced stages of Alzheimer's. Singer paid for her expenses in a private nursing care in a manner that is obviously conflict with his ideas and his interests. And the same amount of money, he said, could feed hundreds of starving Sundanese people, all persons. When asked about his mother, he said, here's what he said. What is it that I am doing in relation to my mother that I should be doing differently according to my philosophy? Am I supposed to be killing her? For one thing, I should end up in jail. I would. She gets some pleasure from life, the pleasure of eating rather than simple pleasure. Why should she not continue to have these? Because it costs money to look after her. In an ideal world, if I could legally, if there was a way without punishment or whatever, painlessly ending my mother's life and then transferring the resources used to look after her to people who would otherwise die from malnutrition, of which there are many, I would say yes. That would be a better thing to do, to kill my own mother for the sake of the survival of the fittest. That's the thinking of people. And by the way, as I said a while ago, Peter Singer is special advisor to the Director General of the World Health Organization. And what is the core of the philosophy of a man with such a reprobate mind? He made it very clear when he said this: we can no longer base our ethics on the idea that human beings are a special form of creation made in the image of God and singled out from all other animals. He said, we got to make them fit right into all the other animals. That's it. In other words, he's saying, let's abandon the biblical declaration of origins and the concept of caring and dedicated, creative God and his design for life. Let's just abandon that altogether. And don't even think about it. How sad that this philosophy would come from the son of Jewish immigrants who narrowly escaped Hitler's onslaught with the same identical philosophy. Isn't that amazing? We are just animals, and God has nothing to do with us. Not so. Not so, said David the psalmist, and that's the reason why I want to call your attention to Psalm 139. Without apology, David says God had something to do with it. In fact, God has everything to do with it. Amen? Amen. David is singing with a different sheet of music entirely as he composes one of the most famous songs in the Old Testament, labeled Psalm 139. It's here that David takes up, not in the delivery room, but he goes past the delivery room into the origin of the child. And let's see that this morning as we talk about it. Number one, first of all, notice how your life was planned by God. Look at verse 15 and 16. It says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God is our creator. Amen. Keep that in mind. We were literally fashioned by his hands. Before he created you, God had a plan for you. Amen. Amen. Oh, he said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, listen to what he said. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. In other words, so before you were ever born and ever conceived, God had a plan for you. And by the way, let me just insert this too. I believe God's plan included salvation for every person conceived in the world. Amen. God wants everybody in the world to go to heaven. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Often you hear people say, well, he was an accident, or she was not planned. Well, your parents may not have planned you. You may have been a surprise to your parents, but you can bank on it. It was not a surprise in the eyes of God. Amen? Amen. You were planned of God before the foundation of the world, and he places great value on your life. And every single child that has ever been aborted was planned by God. He had a purpose for their life. However, they never had the opportunity to fulfill that purpose for their life because someone robbed them of the opportunity to live and somebody murdered them. Amen? God is grieved over the death of every one of his creation, including those who are aborted. Amen? Human life is valuable because God planned it. Now watch this. Secondly, human life is valuable because your life was produced by God. Look at verse 13 and 14. And actually, in Psalm 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Just as God was intimately involved in the creation of Adam and Eve, He was intimately involved in creating you and me, and He knows that all there is to know about you and me. Amen. Past, present, future. Scripture tells us that He knows the number of the hairs of your head. Some of them are falling away, but that's all right. And this shows you a couple of things. Since God produced it, it shows you a couple of things. Number one, this is His personal work. The Bible says in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Now the word here rendered possess means properly to set up right. In other words, He did it all. He did it all and carried with it the idea of being erected. He did it. He put life in it. And so the word means to found or to create. The term is used over in Genesis chapter 14 in relation to God creating the heavens and earth. Just like God created the heavens and the earth, He created every human being that ever lived. Now the word covered in this verse means properly to interweave. In other words, it's used to describe a person weaving a rug or something. And this means that God put all the parts together as one weaves cloth or who makes a basket. He put it all together. Every little part. And I used to look in the mirror and I didn't like the way my nose was. I didn't like my nose. I didn't like my eyes. I didn't like my ears until my mother said, "That's the way God created you. So you just go ahead and accept you as you are." And I, as a result of that, picked up a little poem. I know my face ain't no star, but I don't mind it. I'm behind it. It's the folks out front that get the jar. So that's the way we ought to look at it. Amen? And secondly, not only did He, as a product of His making and what He did and how He did it, and that not only did he do it personally, but He did it precisely. It is a precise work. He said, "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works." In other words, God made you just the way He wanted you. And there's two parts about your face that grows over time. How many of you know that? What is it? It's your ears and your nose. It gets bigger as it goes along. I hope mine doesn't get any bigger. But there is no one else on earth just like you. Somebody said, "Well, you just look just like your mother. You look just like your daddy." But you are not like your mom and dad. You may have some favorable identity parts, but you are not. You are different because the scientists have proven and tell us that we have our own DNA and we have our own fingerprints. And this is just a physical reminder that we are special to God. And the people of this world may look at you and may think that you may be worthless, but in the sight of God, you are of great value. He is the creator. He is the means by which you are living, and He has the right of ownership. And since He is the one who gives life, then He's the only one that should take life. Amen? Let me repeat that again. And since He is the one who gives life, He is the only one with the authority to take life. Now, I found this to be interesting, and so I'm going to share it with you. I have to read it, and I'm not a very good reader, but I want to read you something by by someone, now I'll quote him at the end. He said, consider the miracle of the human body. Every second, more than 100,000 chemical reaction takes place in your brain. Now, it has 10 billion nerve cells to record what you see, hear, feel, and smell. And this information comes to your brain through the miracle of the eye, which has 100 million receptor cells, rods and cones in each eye. Your retina also has four other layers of nerve cells. Altogether, the system makes the equivalent of 10 billion calculations a second before an image gets to the optic nerve. Let me go on. Once it reaches the brain, the cerebral cortex has more than a dozen separate vision centers in which to process it. And he said, your tear ducts supply a bacteria-fighting fluid to protect your eyes from infection. This fluid, these tears that fight irritants, differ from the tears of sadness, which contains 24% more proteins. That's interesting, isn't it? That's not to mention the miracle of the ear and how it translates sound waves and miracle, meaningful speech and sounds, or the touch of taste and smell. And part of your brain regulates voluntary matters such as muscle coordination and thought processes. Other parts of the brain control involuntary processes such as digestion and granular secretions and the rate at which your heart beats and all of these things. How did it accidentally happen that your body can speed up your heart rate to properly speed to meet increased oxygen demand when you exercise and you slow down and it meets your needs? One square inch of your skin has about 625 sweat glands, 19 feet of blood vessels, and about 19,000 sensory cells. Working with your brain, it maintains a steady 98.6 degrees under all weather conditions. Your stomach has 35 million glands which secrete the right amount of juices to allow your body to digest food and convert it into stored energy for your muscles. Your body is an efficient machine, and to ride a bicycle for an hour at 10 miles per hour only produces 350 calories, the energy equivalent to only 3 tablespoons of gasoline. You have more than 200 bones, each shaped for its function, connected to one another through lubricated joints that cannot be perfectly duplicated by modern science. More than 500 muscles connect to these bones, and some obey willful commands, others perform their duty in response to unconscious commands from the brain, and they all work together to keep us alive. The heart muscle itself beats about 103,000 times each day, pumping blood cells a distance of 168 million miles. Coupled with that, your lungs automatically breathe in the right amount of life-giving oxygen, about 438 cubic feet each day, which just happens to mix with the right proportions, about 20% oxygen, 80% nitrogen in our atmosphere. And each of the other vital organs and glands in your body work in complex conjunction with the others to sustain life, which science cannot explain or create. And, by the way, we have not mentioned the complexity of the human cell in our bodies. Listen to this. A single human's chromosome, DNA molecule, contains 20 billion bits of information. Each stores 250 petabytes. That's 215 gigabytes. Is that pretty big, Brother Jonathan? Pretty big. It is written down in an ordinary printed book. In the modern language, it would be equivalent to about 3 billion letters. And if there is approximately 6 letters in that average word, that information content of a human chromosome corresponds to about 500 million words.
If there are about 300 words on an ordinary page of a printed type, this corresponds with about 2 million pages. And if every typical book contains 500 pages, the information content of a single human chromosome corresponds to some 4,000 volumes. Unquote. That information was given by Carl Sagan, who believes that it all happened by chance. Can't get any dumber than dumb, can you? Somebody had put it together, and I know I couldn't. It must mean that somebody who is sovereign put all this together. And I got this information from Carl Sagan's book. And the book is entitled, if you want to read it, no, you don't need to read it. It's called The Dragons of Eden. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then thirdly, your life is precious to God. Look at verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17, he said, I'm sorry, I have to bring it closer. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members are written. It's so precious to me that God took every cell, everything about your body and about you, and has put it in a book. Isn't that amazing? That's what he said. He put it in a book. Here David rejoices because God's intimate interest was in his life. That's how interested God is in you. He was in awe of the fact that God had been so good to him. Amen? He stated that it was impossible to count God's blessings in this life because he said they outnumber the grains of the sand on the seashore. There is no way for us to comprehend all of the thoughts that God has for us. He's constantly mindful of us, and he never ceases to provide for us. Amen? Every time I take a breath, I am breathing his air. God blesses abundantly, and he is with us continually. And this is just a few truths that make him just precious to us. Listen to a little poem that I picked up years ago from one of the Dehan boys in Our Daily Bread. He wrote this, of all the creation's treasures rare, no one compares in worth with man. In God's own image, he was made to fill a place in his great plan. Unfortunately, we live in a day and an age when people do not realize what I've just said. They don't realize how precious life is. Our own government allows, and in many cases support, destruction of human life at any level. None is any more precious and grievous than the detestable practice of abortion on demand. There is no denying the fact that abortion is murder. There's just nothing. And I'm sure that in this audience, there's somebody that may have had an abortion. But remember this, God is in the forgiving business, and he's ready to forgive and to cleanse and to turn things around. There could be people in here that are contemplating, you think about it, or know somebody that has abortion. We need to try to help them, encourage them. You see, a baby's heart starts beating at around 6 weeks. Sadly, it's reported that 100% of all abortions occur after the 7th week. Adrian Rogers said this, Pharaoh and Hitler must now take second place to America. Pharaoh, who slaughtered the babies, and Hitler, who slaughtered millions in the gas chambers, he said, are going to have to take a back seat. They've fallen back in the shadows to what's going on today. Today is only the 23rd day of this year, and there have been 56,000 babies killed since January 1st. 56,000 aborted babies already in 2022. There have been over 2,000 murdered worldwide since I began this sermon this morning. It just seems that humanity doesn't place much value on human life, but God does. God does. Not only does He value life, He values our souls. Aren't you glad? He goes deeper than just valuing our bodies and our physical bodies. He values our soul. In fact, the value that God places on your soul is immeasurable, because the Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lost his soul? You see, your soul is so valuable to God that He was willing to do what was necessary to save your soul. Scripture says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Then in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible tells us that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God sees your soul, and He sees my soul as the most valuable thing in all the world. In fact, you are so valuable to God that He sent His only Son to the cross to die and suffer and pay the price for your sin and mine when He died on the cross. And that's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, he said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, or from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for you. So you're valuable to God. If you don't know Him, I'd like to introduce you to Him today. What a wonderful joy it is to know if you died today, you could go to heaven and be with the Lord. This past week hadn't been the most profitable week in my life. I, for some reason or another, having some real physical problems as a result of the COVID, and with all kinds of pain in my head that I could not understand. And every morning at 4:30, I wake and I walk out, wake with this terrible sinus headache. It lasts for sometimes 10 to 12 hours. And I didn't understand it. And then I got to the point where I thought in my mind, and I told my wife, I said, if I have to live this way with this pain for the rest of my life, I'd just soon go into heaven right now. And then I said to the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit said to me, you really don't know what pain is till you go to the cross. You really don't know what pain is until you go to the cross. That's where Jesus Christ bore the sin of the whole world in His body on that tree. He suffered all the pains of an eternal hell for you and me. And if you've never trusted Him as Savior, hey, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd be glad to do this. I'd crawl on my hands and knees to you and beg you to come to Christ this morning if you don't know Him. Because I know Him. And I know what it is to be forgiven of sin. I know what it is to have the joy of knowing that if I died, or should the rapture take place and the Lord come, that I'd go to be with Him. And you can know that too. And I trust that everyone here and you that are watching would know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If not, I introduce Him to you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head are bowed and eyes closed.